Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Bill Shanks. Always love our chats with Bill on Thursdays. Bill, the host of the Bill Shanks Show, 93.1 FM in Macon, 98.3 FM in Warner Robins and South Central Georgia. Bill, thank you so much for joining us. How was your first day of the early signing period yesterday?
Well, I'm about a four-star, so I signed. It was a great day. It's always fun, National Signing Day. I used to be a bad recruit, Nick, and used to go to get the magazines and just back before this internet thing that they founded, and I used to love getting the magazines. And I would get the AJC top 25, top 50, top 100, the Southeast, and track it like crazy before we had the technology we have today. So it's always a fun day. I'm not as crazy as I used to be about it because I'm tired of being disappointed by the Trey Sanders of the world who break your heart. But I had a good time tracking it, and it was quite a fun day for the Bulldogs for sure.
Now, Bill, we'll get back to Georgia football and some stuff here in a little bit, but I wanted to ask you about the Braves because since we last talked, it's kind of been radio silence. There hadn't been a whole lot coming from the Braves side of things in terms of any acquisitions or anything like that as the hot stove has cooled off. I think a lot of teams are waiting for the big dominoes like Manny Machado and Bryce Harper to fall. But where are the Braves standing right now, and when do you think they'll crank it back up in terms of making some moves?
Well, I'm sure they're talking. That's their job, and I'm sure they're trying to make some moves. But Dallas Gonzalez told everybody last week at the end of the winter meetings that he thought it was going to be in January when the next moves are going to be made, and I think part of that may be the need to see the big dominoes fall, to see Harper and Machado fall and see how it goes from there. So I think that's the main thing. And we've got to remember the market has obviously changed after last year and how long it took most free agents to sign into January. This is a different calendar, I guess, now for baseball, to where before we would have most of the moves that teams would make for the offseason be made before January 1st. Now, I don't think so. I think it's pretty much spread out or even more tilted to after the first of the year. So that's part of it as well, the calendar change and how things have just changed a little bit in baseball. But I'm sure the Braves continue to talk, and they have had a couple of people that obviously they have been linked to sign with other teams, with Michael Brantley going to Houston and of course, last week McCutchen going to the Phillies, so they're still talking, and I'm sure part of the Braves problem is, I'm going to tell you, look, they are not going to give up Ozzy Albies. They're not going to give up Ronald Acuna. We know that. They're not going to give up Ronald Acuna for anybody, but they don't want to give up Ozzy Albies. They're going to have a hard time. I saw yesterday where the Indians were asking the Reds about Nick Senzel, the third base prospect they have, and if that's going to be the price for Corey Kluber, I mean, they're going to want Ozzy probably from the Braves, and that's going to be part of the problem, I think, for Atlanta in trying to make some moves is they don't want to give away some of their core pieces.
So, of the young guys, they're not going to give anybody up that is currently, like, already at the big league club and on the roster. If they're going to give up young guys, it's going to be guys that are still down in the farm system?
Well, I think there's just a preference for what they're wanting to do. And you know, I've had a lot of people ask me, well, what about Stancy? What about obviously Camargo, and I just think the preference for them is to not do anything of that nature. I mean, if Cleveland said, "All right, we'll give you Corey Kluber," we won't, they don't need Dansby Swanson because they got Lindor. But I mean, if it was something along those lines, if for some other player, Cleveland was not a good example. But another team that might have, let's say Arizona said, "You know what? Look, we'll give you Zach Greinke, we'll give you Archie Bradley, we'll eat X amount of money from Greinke still, we'll give you Peralta, something like that." Well, you got to give up Ozzy Albies, or you got to give up Dansby Swanson. Well, I mean, I'm sure they'll think about it, but I think they're just going to be careful about what they do, and their preferences has been that they don't want to do it. They've had plenty of opportunity to try to trade, or not try, but to trade Ozzie, and they haven't yet. So I think that tells you what their thought process is. Realmuto would be a Brave probably today if the Braves had let go of Ozzie in the trade discussions with the Marlins.
Bill, along those same lines, a lot of us Braves fans, maybe myself included, find ourselves getting a little bit maybe frustrated because there is a lack of movement from AA Anthopoulos right now. But do we need to step back and realize that the roster right now the Braves have is pretty darn good, even if no moves are made? Yes, we want some starting pitching, but there's no need to make a move just to make a move right now. The Braves are in the driver's seat. Is that right?
Well, I think, Logan, you know, they need another outfielder, and I would prefer they not bring back Nick Markakis. That's just my preference. They may choose to do that. They may decide that's the better option for them, is to, if he has no market out there, to bring back Markakis for 1 year. I think they do need a Corey Kluber, Zach Greinke at the top of the rotation. But if they simply, and I still think they need some bullpen help, you know, there's no doubt about that. But as far as the roster today, can the roster today win 90 games? Yeah, I think it could. I mean, I think they've got to have some luck, because the problem is going to be that the other teams in the division are more than likely going to be better. The teams they beat up in 2018 are simply going to be better in 2019. Philly still has stupid money to spend. The Mets obviously are not rebuilding. You've got the Phillies, as I said, who are going for it. Nationals, if they don't bring Harper back, they're going to go make another move. They've already brought in Corbin. So that's part of the equation, is how the division that they feasted on has simply gotten better. But this current roster, no, look, I think between the pitchers who are ready to take that next step, like Fulte did last year, and the full year contribution from people like Kevin Gausman, from Ronald Acuna, from Johnny Venters, yeah, I think those are the kind of things that you can point to and say, all right, over the course of 162 games, the core of this same roster from last year can still make a difference. And then you add a player who many believe that if he's healthy is an MVP candidate with Josh Donaldson. Well, yeah, you know, they're doing pretty well. So they got plenty of time. They got two more good months to go and add some more pieces to that bullpen and maybe a starting pitcher. If they don't add a starting pitcher, look, it's not going to be a tragedy. I think they can still add one during the season if they find that they need one. But if they feel like the price is just not right, or they don't want to do something that a team tries to push them in the corner to do, then let's see what the kids can do. I don't have any problem. Now, I think they need another reliever. I do, even though I think some of those starting pitchers could be pushed to the bullpen, which may not be a bad thing. I think they still need at least one more veteran reliever.
Bill, this might not be an easy question to answer because it's probably a organization mentality type question. But with all that being said, and their unwillingness to part with some of their, you know, what they value as key prospects or key players, do you think they're more likely to add, you know, it could be a starting pitcher, could be a reliever, could be whatever, via free agency or via trade?
It just depends on price, Sam. It just depends on what makes sense for them. I mean, they've been very hesitant so far, obviously, to give out long-term contracts. And when it comes to free agents, they've also been hesitant, I believe, to go after players who have a long-term contract in the trade discussion. Their preference, for whatever reason, whatever it is shorter-term deals. So that is, you know, obviously something that they've done and shown by their actions. And again, I just don't know the reason. Heck, I've even speculated, are they being sold for them not to give out long-term contracts? But it is an interesting philosophy, and I think he's just being careful to not get himself pigeonholed in with bad contracts that a lot of teams are having to fight through.
Bill, we're going to switch gears now to Georgia football, as the Dogs had a great day yesterday, and that included getting a quarterback to flip from Ohio State in the wake of all of this Justin Fields transfer, you know, rumors and stories and things like that. You know, we've been asking, or we asked Chip Towers this earlier, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it. There's Kirby Smart coming out yesterday saying that right now the plan is for Justin Fields to, you know, be with his team for the Sugar Bowl and for him to play in the game or be a part of the team for the game. And I asked Chip, I was like, well, that just seems kind of weird. Like, if he's actively pursuing a transfer, you know, why would you want him, you know, as part of the game plan or part of the team for the game? And we've gotten some responses from listeners saying that, well, it's just to have a backup. And it's like, well, they would have a backup in Downing. So I just don't, you know, understand why you would kind of go at it with that mentality of, you know, he's looking to transfer. But, yeah, we'll let him play.
Well, I think the only way this is happening here with the practice and the possible bowl appearance or bowl of availability is that they're trying to convince him to stay. I can't imagine why, if this was a done deal 100%, why they would allow him to stay and practice and back up Jake Plum. I just had someone, I was in a restaurant 10 minutes before you guys called me, and the guy said, you know, I heard that Plum's told, or rather Fields has told Kirby, you know, I'll stay if you give me significant minutes in the bowl game. And I'm like, well, I don't know where you heard that from, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but if I'm Kirby Smart, I'm telling him to pack his stuff and get the heck out of there. Because I'm not going to sit my quarterback, who's led this program to two great years, to on the verge of a national championship. I'm not going to say I'm going to sit you in this bowl game so I can placate someone who may threaten to leave. I just can't imagine that being the case, and hopefully that's not true. But anyway, look, if there's a chance for Justin Fields to stay, I understand the behavior of trying to placate him to a certain extent by giving the players more time to try to convince him to stay, by trying to convince Justin Fields that, look, if Jake Fromm leaves after next year, the job is yours in 2020, you will have a full year, and we will do a better job of getting you more significant and meaningful snaps and throwing opportunities in 2019 than we did in 2018. But if he's hell-bent on leaving, I think he needs to go today.
I agree with that, Bill. Let me put you on the spot just a little bit here. If you were writing the headline at the local newspaper today about the recruiting class that Kirby Smart pulled in yesterday, what is that headline going to look like?
Well, first of all, is there a local newspaper left?
I'm not sure, but let's pretend there is one.
Okay. We don't have one here in Macon.
Right.
My headline would be, in quotation marks, he's done it again. And I think it's Kirby doing it again and following up last year's number one class with another top class. It's not number one. It would have been if Trey Sanders and Evan Neal had signed with Georgia. But I think he's done it again because Kirby has followed up last year with another significant, highly ranked class. It's not even close between Georgia and the number three team on the rankings, whether it's LSU or Texas A&M. There's a big gap there, and he's simply closing the gap even more with the talent that Alabama has. I don't think in Alabama's decade run here there's been anything close to what's happening right now. Now, an Alabama fan will say, well, you're close, you ain't there yet, and they're right, because Georgia hasn't beat them yet. They've lost twice in this calendar year, and so they're not there yet. But they're as close as you can get without being there and beating them and having the same amount of talent as them. It's as close as probably you're going to get, because Alabama's not going to stop. They don't have a season where they go from one or two in their recruiting rankings to 13 or 14 or whatever. Ohio State, their coaching change obviously has gone from a perennial top five recruiting class with Urban to, what are they, 14 or 15 with the new coach. Alabama doesn't do that, and I don't think Georgia's going to do that either now with Kirby, and I think that is the headline more than anything. For him to go out after the news broke about the possible transfer of his backup quarterback and find someone as highly rated as the kid from Michigan was a representation of how the process is in place so effectively in that building, to where they can make chicken salad out of chicken, you know what, in a short amount of time. So I give a tremendous amount of credit to Kirby Smart and his staff, and God bless Sam Pittman.
Bill, before he let you go, how upset were you that the Falcons actually won this weekend?
Well, I mean, they're stupid as hell to win. They need to draft pick, and they need to be as high in the draft pecking order as they can to get a better player so they can hopefully get more talent on that team. And, you know, it's amazing. And I expected another win. I didn't think they were going to lose 8 in a row to end the season, but I hope they would, but I didn't really expect it. Cardinals are awful. They're not very good. And now, you know, they got Tampa Bay and Carolina. I wouldn't be shocked if they won one of these two games because those two teams aren't – they're not in the playoffs. They don't care. So it's – you know, it's just they need more talent. And if they think masking their problems on that coaching staff by firing the two coordinators are going to fix it, they're crazy.
Well, it doesn't help that Cam Newton has basically been told he's not going to be playing at all for the rest of the season. So the challenge for losing games gets even harder with no Cam Newton in Carolina this week.
Yeah. Let's save Matt Ryan and start Matt Schaub if we're going to have people tanking to try to get better draft picks. But, you know, DQ in the Brotherhood, hashtag, all that crap, just not going to do that. So, by the way, I figured out the problem with the Falcons and Georgia losing two big games in that building. We deserve all of that because the dumb owner of the Falcons, and I say that lovingly, of course, got a deal with the same company that had the deal with the nasty place in New Orleans. No wonder Georgia lost twice in Atlanta because the damn thing's called the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And if you can't do your own deal with a different company and you had to copy the people in New Orleans, serves you right. I mean, no wonder we're getting snake bit by that day. If we played over there at Panther Stadium, we probably would have beat Alabama both times. But no, we had to play in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and good luck.
Yeah, that is certainly one thing that I've thought about at times, too. Are you going to be over in that big, ugly stadium in New Orleans on New Year's Day, Bill?
Are you kidding? I'm not going to that city, Sam. Come on. How many years have I done this show? Do I need to demonstrate any more of how I don't like that city than what I have in the past? No, I'm not going. I'll watch it on television, and I'll root the dogs on, and they're going to beat the crap out of Texas, and I'm going to enjoy it from my home and not have to smell that place.
Bill Shanks, the best, Shanks, the one and only. Thank you so much, Bill. We'll talk to you again next week.
Merry Christmas.
Same to you, good sir. Same to you. There's our man, Bill Shanks, host of the Bill Shanks Show, 93.1 FM in Macon, 98.3 FM in Warner Robins and South Central Georgia.